5 PM. You've got a lot to get to, so I suppose we should just pick you. I'd like to call the meeting to order and we need for that because you're free to do a roll call for us.
Thank you. Commissioner Hollingsworth?
Here.
Commissioner McMillan?
Here.
Commissioner Milkie?
Here.
Vice Chair Hip?
Here.
Chair Merrick?
Here.
Thank you.
Okay. Call to audience, do you have any comment on this? Peter, do you have a member of the audience today? Do you want to take a moment to introduce them?
So yeah, we do have an audience member today, but probably the best time to interview would be in the March meeting.
Okay. Gotcha. Okay, so since there's no comment cards, we're going to close the call to audience and move to our regular session agenda. First item is review and approve the January 10th regular session meeting minutes. Give the commissioner a moment to review the notes. If nobody has any comments or questions, then we'd ask for a motion to approve.
So moved. Second.
Okay, I believe that takes us to our, can we do a vote? Oh, sorry. Let's do a roll call vote.
Commissioner Hollingsworth?
Here, yes.
Commissioner McMillan?
Yes.
Commissioner Milkie?
Here, yes.
Vice Chair Hip?
Yes.
Chair Merrick?
Yes.
Thank you.
We are going to discuss possible action regarding water rates and we've been invited our consultant, Dan, from the Rural Dam Group. Do you want to do an introduction?
Yes, thank you, Chair Merrick. So the Water Utility Commission, which today has decided every 4 or 5 years to have a rate consultant look at the body of work that the water utility staff has done and prepare rates in subsequent years, just to kind of make sure we're on track, fresh set of eyes to look at our body of work. And also, you know, we've gone with a national firm, so it's bringing in expertise that can kind of see that the trends of what's going on nationally with respect to water service providers. So that's what we did this year. We put out a request for proposals, put a team together, evaluated proposals, and the number one candidate was the Rural Dam Group. Dan Lanning is here with that group. She will go through the rate, the body of work that is done and the rate presentation with you tonight. The scope of their work was only the potable water side. Water utility staff performed a rate analysis on the methane side as well as looked at the GPF. So Mr. Lanning will be going over the potable rate work that was done first. And then you can have some discussion on that. And then right after that, water utility staff will go through the methane rate and the GPF. And then from there, we'll be asking for a recommendation from the commission body to council. So with that, I'd like to welcome Dan Lanning to the Water Utility. I'm sorry. So his partner is Dan Lanning? I got the Dan.
He got the first name right. That was important.
Hey, welcome, Dan Jackson.
Thank you very much. Well, thank you very much. I am Dan Jackson, Vice President of Rural Dam Financial Services. We're a firm that does water and wastewater rate consulting and long-term financial planning for utilities all throughout the United States. I'm based in Plano, Texas. I've been doing this for about 35 years or so. We work for about 45 cities here in the state of Arizona, about 100-plus cities in Texas, cities all over the United States, and 5 foreign nations. All of the clients we work for have a very similar set of circumstances and challenges in the 21st century. The provision of water resources is going to be one of the biggest challenges any municipality is going to face as we go through the 21st century. In Texas, we've got a saying, and that is whiskey is for drinking and water is for fighting over. And that is becoming more and more true as water resources begin more and more to strain utilities. But one important thing that all of my clients understand is that those utilities and municipalities that control their water resources will control their future, and those who don't won't. I really appreciate the opportunity to be here tonight. We've spent a lot of time analyzing the utility. We've spent a great deal of time with staff. We really appreciate all the support staff has given us. We've gone through a lot of different rate and financing scenarios, and we've narrowed it down to the final scenarios that we're going to present to you tonight. One thing to keep in mind about water rate making is that rates are not just a financial decision. Rates are a community, social, and political decision just as much as they are a financial one. You can come up with any number of rate designs that are going to get you the revenues you need. The question becomes, what is the most fair, just, and reasonable rate design? Well, that, you know, that answer can vary based on different communities. And that was one of the issues that we discussed with, in great detail with city, with both the town staff and with your subcommittee as well. And like I said, we hope that what we present you tonight is going to be fairly reflective of what those ultimate rule discussions turned out to be. So I'm going to start by talking a little bit about your rates. Then I'm going to go through some background information on your customers and volumes. Not a whole lot, but just kind of give you a little bit of a reminder and feel for the size of your utility. Then we'll talk about your current and your forecast cost of service. In other words, how many customers do you have, how much water you sell, and how much does it cost you to provide that water service. Then we'll go through our water rate plan alternatives, and we'll summarize it by talking about the next steps. And please feel free to compliment the pictures. I took all of them myself. So let's talk about your rates. Whenever I talk or do a rate presentation, and I've probably done about 300 of them all around the country, I'm the guy who goes to different cities telling them they have to raise the rates. So as you can imagine, I'm not a real popular person, but I do give them a message that they need to hear. And one of the things that I like to talk about when I do these kind of presentations is I like to talk about what's going on in the industry itself, because it's very important for decision makers like yourselves to understand what's happening in the industry. For example, the average utility has been increasing its rates 5 to 6% every year, and that trend is expected to continue. The cost of water service is going up at rates significantly greater than inflation. As a matter of fact, the American Water Works Association forecasts that water rates are going to triple in the next 15 years. Now, water will still be an incredibly cheap commodity, considering the fact that we literally can't live without it. But in the 21st century, it's simply going to become more expensive. Now, why is this? Well, a lot of reasons that water costs are going up are for reasons that are completely beyond the control of a utility. Inflation. You know, cost of everything goes up by 3 to 4% a year. You try to run your water utility like a business. So when your costs go up, you've got to pass those costs through to your ultimate ratepayer. And so, but also when you look at water utilities, other factors like capital improvement plans that need to invest in your system, that drives up costs even more. Often people will say, well, if we just ran our utility more efficiently, maybe we would never need a rate increase. That's not the case, because everybody is raising their rates. Also keep this in mind. 30 to 40% of utilities right now charge rates that don't cover their costs. So just because a neighboring utility's rates are lower than yours doesn't necessarily mean that they run a more efficient operation or they're a better utility. It might mean that they've decided to subsidize their water and sewer rates from their general fund. There's nothing wrong, illegal with doing that, but it is a factor to keep in mind. So let's talk a little bit about what you actually charge your customers. You charge for water service based on two components, a minimum monthly charge and then a volumetric rate per 1,000 gallons. Your monthly charge by meter size starts out at $18.99 for a 5/8 inch meter and gets progressively more expensive as the meters get larger. On the volumetric rate, you charge a rate by meter size, by tiers. The more water you use, the more you pay. The idea behind this rate is it's called an inverted block rate. It is a conservation rate. It ensures that you get the water you need, but at the same time, it provides a financial disincentive for using excess amounts of water. These kind of rate structures have become very popular across the United States, and they are very successful at getting people to use water wisely. Because remember, water is a finite resource, and so we can't just sell water. We have to make sure that the customers who buy the water use it in as expeditious a manner as possible. Okay, the town has been very judicious in its management of its water resources and its rates over the last 10 years. This chart right here shows the magnitude of rate increases from the year 2010 to the year 2021. As you can see, you had a 4% rate increase in 2010. You had virtually no increases at all for the next 4 years. Very nominal increases in the 3 years after that. A couple of increases in 18 and 19, and one 2.8% rate adjustment in 2021. Now remember, everybody else was here. So you guys have managed to keep the magnitude of rate adjustments very, very low for the last decade, and I think you should be commended for that.
Does that chart include the GPF?
No, it's just your basic water rates.
Okay, some of those years, I think the GPF changed.
It started lower.
Lower than it is now.
No, I think it was started that it's lower than what it is now. It's ratcheted
up. Yeah, that's right. Mm-hmm. So if you added that in, it would be a little more.
Yeah.
Yes.
Steady increase.
Mm-hmm. But also keep in mind, there are a lot of cities that have these kind of special charges. So when we do rate comparisons, we like to just use the base water rate, because there are many other cities that have a functional equivalent of a GPF charge, or a service fee, or a groundwater fee, or something along those lines. So when we do rate comparisons, we like to do just the basic water and wastewater rates. Because, you know, it can get very complicated if you try to bring in all these other fees. You can end up with so many different numbers that none of them make any sense. But when it comes to just your basic water rates, one question that is commonly asked is, how do our rates compare to our neighbors? Well, this chart right here is a comparison of monthly charges for 7,000 gallons of water service. The average residential meter here in the town uses somewhere between 6,000 and 7,000 gallons a month. So 7,000 gallons is a very good point at which to do a comparison. As you can see, a customer who uses 7,000 gallons who has a 5/8 inch meter pays $35.79 a month for that service. That doesn't include taxes. It doesn't include the GPF because again, it's just a basic comparison of water and sewer rates. And as you can see, your rates are about where you would expect them to be. You're higher than some, and you're lower than others. You know, you're actually a little bit below the state average. The state median, WIFA puts out a comparison every year of rates throughout the state of Arizona. It's a really good document. But you're about $6 below the state median. You know, you're lower than Flagstaff, you know, you're lower than Marana, you're lower than Tucson. You are a little higher than some of these other cities. But what this is telling us is that our rates certainly are not out of proportion to what other people pay for water service here in this region of Arizona and statewide. Because that's a common question that's asked. Many people think their rates are higher than everybody else's. Fact of the matter is, the pure arithmetic says that your rates are certainly not out of proportion to what other people are charging. Yes, sir.
I was just wondering, do you have any idea why Phoenix rate is so low?
I don't work for Phoenix, never have, probably never will. But I don't like working for big cities like that. Quite frankly, it gets very, very difficult to get anything accomplished. But the thing is, water utilities work on a concept called economies of scale. The more accounts you have, the less it costs you to service each of those accounts. It doesn't cost you twice as much to serve 10,000 accounts as it does to serve 5,000 accounts. So when you're a major metropolitan city like Phoenix, and you've got several hundred thousand accounts crammed into a relatively limited area, the amount that you can charge can be relatively limited. Also, Phoenix has a very, very large commercial base. Very large. And so water utilities in large metropolitan areas have a big incentive to push more of their costs to the commercial customers as opposed to the residential customers. So those factors combined, typically, this is a general rule of thumb, is that the larger the city, the lower the rate. Again, it's
for residential anyway.
Definitely for residential.
Okay.
Interestingly enough, a lot of what I just said about Phoenix applies to Tucson as well, yet you're lower than Tucson. So, so like I said, I have no idea whether Phoenix's rates are covering their costs or not. I've never worked for them, so I don't have any opinion on that. But there are reasons why these major metropolitan areas typically have rates that are a little lower than surrounding cities. Okay, a few quick charts on your customers and volumes. You've got about 21,000 current water accounts right now. To no great surprise, the vast majority of them are 5/8 and 3/4 inch meters. Those are your basic residential meters. Your larger meters, which are more of your commercial base, you know, are fairly, got a few thousand of those, but you're predominantly your residential based system. Now, of course, when you do a long-term financial plan, one of the goals is not just to look and see where your utility is today, but where's your utility going to be tomorrow? Where's it going to be over the next 5 to 10 years? You build those assumptions into the long-term financial plan. You've seen some growth over the last few years. In 2015, you had about 19,200 accounts. You've added about 2,000 accounts in the last 6 years. And we're projecting that you're going to be adding probably about another 1,500 to 2,000 accounts over the next 10 years. So that growth, well-managed growth is good for a utility. More accounts is more minimum charges, is more volume charges, is more customers to spread your costs over. Now, this chart right here is interesting to water guys like me, but it just shows you what the average usage is per month for each meter size. They said for your 5/8 inch meters, the average amount per month is 6,606 gallons. For 3/4 inch meters, it's 8,889. But once you get into the commercial customers, you get a big variation in usage, which is no great surprise. A commercial business can be anything from a mom and pop flower shop to a Walmart. So there's going to be a lot of variation in your commercial usage, and that certainly shows in your usage. You've got some pretty big customers here. Your 3 and 4 inch customers are buying several hundred thousand gallons of water a month. Okay, water usage is another factor that goes into a long-term financial plan. This chart right here tracks your historical and your forecast water usage. As you can see, your historical water usage has generally trended up. Now, there have been some outlier years here. Generally, I mean, water consumption can vary based on certain factors. Obviously, weather is a critical factor. If it's a very dry year, you're going to have higher water usage. If it's a wet year, you're going to have lower water usage. But generally, the trend has been upwards. And so, in the current year, you're projected to have 2.3 billion gallons of consumed water. This is billed water. And as you can see, we're projecting that you're going to increase that to about 2.5 billion gallons by the year 2030. Now, this is the projection. The reality is your usage is probably going to go up and down like that, just like it has in the past. Dry years, more. Wet years, less. But since I can't forecast the weather 5 years from now, heck, weathermen can't even forecast the weather next week, so how do we really know what years is going to be dry or not? The best thing to do is to take your basic average and assume it's going to be the average. And that's what we did. So, okay, let's talk real briefly about your costs before we get into the rate plan. Okay? A financial plan and forecast is not a guarantee. It's a prediction based on a series of reasonable assumptions. What are some of the assumptions that we use in developing your 10-year financial plan? Well, one assumption is that your personnel operating costs will trend up probably about 2% a year. Remember, cost of everything goes up 2 to 3% a year just due to inflation. And so a well-constructed financial plan has to take into consideration the fact that inflation is going to continue to be a factor in the future. Certain expenses are going to increase at higher rates. The rate model, the comprehensive international rate model that we put together for use by the town, is based on the rate model that we've used for every single one of our clients. We have this model that I developed back in 1996 and has been used for every one of our clients since then. It's been significantly enhanced over the years, hired some young millennials that put some really cool stuff in it. But the trend or the basic architecture of the model has been very consistent. And what that model does is it has the ability to take every line item in your budget and increase it based on an assigned allocation factor. And so this model is able to take into consideration the fact that things like insurance, chemicals, electricity are likely going to increase at rates greater than inflation. But there are two factors that are going to drive your rate plan in the future. One factor is going to be Central Arizona Project annual costs, which are basically a pass-through. And the second is the funding of your capital improvement plan. Capital improvement plans impact rates in three ways. How much do you have to spend? When do you have to spend it? And how do you finance it? Now, It is very common for utilities to have a long list of projects that they want to have done. It's kind of like at our homes. You know, we've got a long list of things that we need to repair in our homes. But the trick in running a water utility is to balance what needs to be done with how much you're willing to spend. Just like at home, there are certain projects that have higher priorities than other projects. So by developing a capital improvement plan and prioritizing those projects, that helps you decide and determine how much revenue you're going to need, which ends up impacting what the rate plan is going to be. The town is projecting $18.8 million in the need for capital improvements over the next 5 years. As you can see, about $6.9 million of it is for the water system itself, and the NWR RDS is about $11.9 million. This is just a background of the specific projects themselves that are forecast to be funded over the next 5 years. Okay. So how are we going to fund the capital improvement plan? Well, it's funded through a combination of your groundwater preservation fees. That's obviously going to fund some of it. Direct contributions from your rates. Your rates themselves are going to direct fund it. And then an $8.0 million bond that we're forecasting that need to be issued on or about fiscal year 2023. Now, it's very common for utilities the size of yours to have to issue debt in order to fund capital improvements. I mean, it costs millions of dollars to do these improvements. You don't have all that money sitting there in the bank. You got to borrow it. And by borrowing it, that enables you to have these projects get done. But borrowing can be very beneficial from a rate standpoint, because if you debt fund some of these projects, what it means is that people who move into the town at later dates are going to pay part of their rates to pay the debt service, and that means that they're paying for part of their use of the assets that are constructed. Another important thing to keep in mind is that you are due to retire a significant proportion of your existing debt over the next 10 years. In the current year, your debt service principal interest payments are $4.9 million. But look at how much of it gets retired in the next 10 years. By the year 2031, your annual debt service for the debt that you currently have outstanding is only $513,000. So that's going to free up a lot of cash and limit the need for rate increases over the next 10 years. So by retiring all this debt, that gives you the ability to issue a new bond, and it still will limit the impact on your ratepayers. That's just good financial management. Now, I think the town's done a great job of managing its finances in a way that minimizes the impact of rate increases on the ratepayers. So, you've got a very interesting situation here in the town. This is your forecast cost of service over the next 10 years. As you can see, in the year 2020, your forecast cost of service is $20.7 million. It's made up of operating expenses, capital outlays, which is small ticket capital expenditures, things like trucks and computers and pumps. In other words, capital expenditures for things that you don't issue debt for. I mean, nobody issues a bond to buy a truck. They just go out and buy the truck. And so it's paid for out of your existing funds. And then your debt service. But as your debt service goes down, your operating expenses go up, your total cost of service is going to go up for the next 5 years, then if all things turn out right, it's going to start falling dramatically in the next 5 years after that. So what this is telling us is that we need a rate plan that gets us through the next 5 years. If we can get through the next 5 years to about 2027, then after that, we're looking at a situation where we either can not have further rate increases or have additional funds available for future capital improvement projects. But problem is, it's not 2027 yet. And so we've got to get there right now. And that's why we're going to be recommending the rate plan that we're recommending. So, with that in mind, let's go through a couple of the rate scenarios. Okay? Like I said, we spent a lot of time with town staff, with the subcommittee, going over different potential alternatives. Bottom line is this. We're going to recommend that you implement a 5-year rate plan with automatic adjustments in July 1st of each of the next 5 years, 2022 through 2026. It would be one ordinance, it would be one council vote, it would be 5 years of automatic rate adjustments. So with that being said, now the question becomes, what should the rate adjustments be? Well, right now you're in a situation where your revenues are recovering a little bit less than your costs. And so, well, the first alternative that we suggested to the city was to have larger increases in the first couple of years to get rid of that deficit to ensure that your all of your revenues cover your costs. But that would mean higher rate increases in the first few years. This is what we call Scenario A. If you did Scenario A, you would require 6% rate increases in the first 2 years, a 4% increase in the third year, a 3% in the fourth year, and a 2% in the fifth year. Now, after reviewing that, some of the feedback was, well, why don't we just smooth it out? You know, instead of doing the larger increases now, why don't we just do constant increases, because that might be a little bit more amenable or acceptable to the ratepayers. And so we said, okay, why don't we just do 4% rate adjustments? So that's Scenario B. Scenario B is 4% each year. However, unfortunately, what you'll see is that if you do the 4% scenario, it's not quite going to get you enough revenue to get you through the next 5 years, and you would have to dip into your reserves in order to adopt this plan. So a third scenario is, instead of 4% for the next 5 years, you do 5% for the next 4 years with a 4% rate adjustment in the fifth year. So the question now becomes, remember how I said at the beginning of the presentation, it's a social, community, and political decision just as much as it is a financial decision. Each of these rate plans will essentially get you the revenue you need. The question is, which one do you think is the most fair, just, and reasonable and appropriate for the utility? So, a couple of things. It assumes no basic change in the rate structure. You know, you keep your minimum charges, keep your inverted block volumetric rates. The rates are going to be effective in July 1st. And then, as I said earlier, once you get past 2026, then all that debt's going to be retired. You're going to have a position, you're going to be in a position where you're going to have a lot of cash flow that's freed up, which means you could either do limited or no additional rate increases, or you would have additional money available for further capital improvements. Because one thing about a water system is there's always going to be the need for capital improvements. You know, it costs millions of dollars to build a water system. It costs millions of dollars to push that water through your town. And guess what? Like any other asset, they wear out over time. And as they wear out, you've got to continually invest in it to ensure that your system runs at a good and acceptable level of service to your ratepayers. So it's not like you're going to run out of capital improvements, that's for sure. Okay, so I'm not going to show you the rates on every chart because that would be way too many numbers to try to absorb. This is the rate plan for the first scenario, Scenario A. As you can see, it would require nominal adjustments in each of the next 5 years. 6, 6, 4, 3, 2 from a percentage standpoint. Now, the question you have is, I can already tell what question you have. That's all just a bunch of numbers. What does this mean in terms of what people will pay? Because that's what we care about. What are people going to pay? Well, I'm glad you asked. If you are a 7,000-gallon water user, under Scenario A, you pay $35.79 a month right now for water service. Your bill would go up by $2.15 a month. That's 6% rate adjustment. In the second year, it would go up by $2.28 a month. In the third year, it would go up by $1.61 a month. In the fourth year, $1.25. In the fifth year, 86 cents. So, if you're a 10,000-gallon user, your bills would be a little bit higher. Now, I hate to take these very complex financial plans and try to summarize it in terms of one or two numbers. I don't like to do that, but if I did, I would tell you that for the vast majority of your ratepayers, what this rate plan Scenario A means is about a $2 to $3 a month rate increase. Because the vast majority of your monthly water bills are 7,000 gallons or less. If the average usage is 7,000 gallons, that means about 60 to 70% of monthly bills are 7,000 gallons or less. Now, with that in mind, remember what the word average means. Average means that some are higher and some are lower. So yes, you do have some residential customers that use 15, 20,000 gallons a month. And they're obviously, their impact is going to be higher. So, but the best thing to do is to look and see what the average is and what the impact is for most ratepayers. And under this plan, it's $2 to $3 a month. Now, for your commercial customers, for your larger users, again, I mean, their usage is all over the map, but a basic average is 50,000 gallons. At 50,000 gallons, a commercial customer pays $271 right now. Their bill would go up by $16 a month. Okay. Boy, there's a lot of numbers there. But there's only a few very important numbers here. This is a spread of your revenues and your expenses. Right now, in the current year, your net revenue is a little bit less than what your cost of service is. This rate plan will ensure that revenues cover costs by the year 2025. Now, what it also means is that your fund balance is going to drop a little bit over the next couple of years because you're recovering a little bit less than your costs, but you're going to build it right back up in the next couple of years after that. This is financial management. You know, you could eliminate this deficit today if you're willing to do a 25% rate increase. You're not going to do that. And so, you know, it's better to phase in these rate adjustments, and that way what it does is it, and by using your fund balance properly, you can ease the impact on your ratepayers. Okay, and then this is your GPF cash balance. Your GPF cash balance will, under this plan, since GPF rates are not really addressed in this particular study, but we're showing that you'll have sufficient funds for GPF revenues to meet all your GPF expenses. Now, let's talk about scenario B. Scenario B says, let's not do the bigger increases first. Let's just do 4% across the board. If we did 4% across the board, what it means is the average ratepayer would see their bill only go up by about $1.50 a month. So instead of the higher $2 to $3 a month in the first couple of years and the lower, you know, 75 cents to a dollar in the later years, it's just a flat average of $1.50 a month. And of course, the 10,000 gallon user, a little bit more than that. So it's not, however, here's the issue with scenario B. If you look at the net revenue, remember the net revenue, revenues less expenses. As you can see, the 4% increases don't make you whole until 2027. And that means you've got to draw your cash balances down. So what it means is you've drawn your cash balances down by $2 million over the next 5 years. For that reason, we don't really recommend scenario B. Let's take a look at scenario C. Scenario C says, well, we're not going to do the 4%. We're going to do 5%. For the next 4 years, and then a 4% increase in the final year. If you do a 5%, well, the difference between 4% and 5% is about 20 cents. So, as you can see, it's $1.80 to $2 a month for each of the next 4 years, and then $1.74 in the fifth year, and a little bit higher if you're that 10,000 gallon user. So a 5% rate increase, again, is, you know, 20 to 25 cents more a month for your average ratepayer. This is a comparison of your rates. Just look at the first three here. This is your monthly bills under scenarios A, B, and C. You start out at $35.79 a month. You basically end up in the same place by the fifth year. It's just that you get there quicker in the first couple of years, and you take your time in scenario C. And in scenario C, your bill by 2026 has to be a little bit higher because you've made a little less revenue in the first couple of years because you haven't raised your rates by as much. So there is a bit of a difference. There is going to be an impact on your ratepayers. It just depends on which scenario you think is the most appropriate one. The other thing about scenario C is that scenario C still gets you whole by the year 2025, and it ensures that your cash balances by 2027 are the same as where they were right now. So for that reason, we are inclined to recommend scenario C as the most appropriate scenario. It gets you the revenue you need, it minimizes the impact on your ratepayers, it ensures that your fund balance is whole, and it, by 2027 is where it is right now, and it enables you to do $18 million in long-term capital improvements. You'll be happy to know I'm to my very last slide now. Look, having done this for many, many years, I understand that it's never easy to ask ratepayers to pay more. Nobody wants to pay more for anything at any time for any reason. But we strongly urge that you consider scenario C because it will have a long-term benefit to the utility and to the town and to the ratepayers. Now, you might say to yourself, how in the world raising rates benefit anybody? Well, think about it. What are the benefits of doing this rate plan? Well, first benefit is that it will continue to allow your utility to operate on a standalone basis. It will result in a financially healthy utility. Your utility is pretty healthy right now. This will keep you financially healthy. Very importantly, you try to run your water operation like a business, but at the same time, you're a nonprofit entity. You're not in this to make money. You're just in it to cover your costs. And all you're asking your ratepayers to do is pay what it's costing you. So if you don't set your rates at a level that covers its costs, then you're basically subsidizing your ratepayers. And as a famous politician once said about subsidies, the problem with subsidies is that sooner or later you run out of other people's money. And so this will ensure that you're not going to need to do that. And finally, it will enable you to invest $18 million in the future of the town. Because one of the great things about running the water utility is that the revenue that you recover is revenue that is put directly back into the town. It's going to be used to construct and purchase assets that are going to be used by yourselves, your children, your grandchildren, and maybe even your great-grandchildren. And so, while it's never easy to ask people to pay more, what they're really doing is investing in the future of the town. We strongly recommend that you give careful consideration, and we would tend to recommend you that you look at Scenario C, but we do think that a long-term rate plan is in the best interest of the town. With that, I'd be happy to answer any questions you have at this time. Yes, sir.
Your presentation said that CIP and increased cap costs were the two biggest mm-hmm. impacts. I was wondering if you know right off the top of your head what sort of assumptions you put into the model for cap rate increases.
Peter, you want to go on?
Sure. So, we utilize CAPs. They give a firm and provisional numbers looking 5 years ahead. And we use those numbers provided to us by CAP. They are part of the presentation, but they're all built into the operating line item. We don't have them separated out. But what we did is, like I said, we looked at CAP's numbers, and we just used their provisional numbers, their firm and provisional numbers for what they think they're going to be charging their customers.
So provisional meaning future numbers?
They're not firm yet.
Okay.
It's just that it's for planning purposes.
Gotcha.
Any other questions? Thank you, Dan.
Thank you very much.
Great job, Dan. And I'm just going to touch base here. So as I mentioned at the beginning, we asked the Will Dan group, just look at the probable rate. Town staff, Mary Morales, and I, we looked at the reclaimed rate and the groundwater preservation fee. Now, a few years ago, we presented to the commission a cost allocation model where we looked at, how do we come up with a cost for the reclaimed rate? We have our hard costs. We know what we're paying Tucson Water to deliver our reclaimed entitlement to our service area. But in things like vehicles, staff time, office supplies, power costs, we developed a cost allocation model where we looked at, because we see the same staff that works on the potable system works on the reclaim system. They drive the same vehicles, they use the same tools, the same staff is doing the billing and managing the operation of that infrastructure. So we just ran our cost allocation model again, looked at what percentage of staff that's working on a potable system or holistically everything, what percentage of that's being used, the potable system is being used on the reclaim system. And we determined that with respect, I'll start with the reclaim commodity rate, that we didn't need a change there. And you think, what about inflation and these sorts of things?
Just for 1 year?
What's that?
This is just
for 1 year. So when I looked at what it costs to operate the system, is I think we were in a little bit of a deficit. I think it was like around $40,000 deficit for next fiscal year. But then we have some debt coming off. So it worked out that we were in a little bit of a surplus the following year. So you don't want to, and it was kind of bouncing around between deficit and surplus, deficit and surplus. We don't want to get to a point where, okay, we need to increase the rate by 5 cents this year, but we could decrease it by 5 cents this another year. But and we look at it every year. So we determined that the cost recovery was real close to being zeroed out, that we didn't see the need for a change in the reclaim rate.
There's no electricity increase coming this year. TEP rates aren't going to change this year.
Do we say that again?
Are the TEP rates going to change this year?
No, we're not slated for changes here. Sorry, I misunderstood.
That's what I thought.
Then we're looking at the groundwater preservation fee. So we have a groundwater preservation fee for both the potable and the reclaim system. And here again, we looked at the revenues we were collecting. And one of the things is, NWRDS project is going to be using those groundwater preservation fees for those projects. And the money we're borrowing is because of a GPF, primarily a GPF shortfall. But what we want to look at is, I mean, we'd have to raise the GPS so much to have any kind of effect on the reduction of that $8 million debt that we're projecting we need. Instead, we said, let's keep the rates levelized, let's keep the plan that we have, and let's go ahead and borrow the money we need. We have enough debt coming off such that in the future, the GPF as it is can pay that future debt service. So at this time, for this 1 year, it made sense just to keep the GPF the same for both the potable and the reclaim system. Any questions with respect to the GPF for potable reclaim as well as the reclaim rate? So with that, looking at the schedule, tonight we're looking for a recommendation on water rates. On March 2nd, Town Council would adopt a notice of intent to increase rates. And this is strictly just a notification. There's no action taken other than the notice of intent. On March 29th, we publish a public hearing date on the town website. This is a minimum 60-day notice on notification to the public of a proposed rate increase. That same day, we publish notice of intent in the newspaper. That meets our minimum 20-day notice requirement. On June 1st, Town Council of a public hearing on the proposed rate increase, and new rates would become effective 30 days after adoption, if adopted June 1st. That would be on July 2nd, and on August 1st, we begin billing of the new rates. And with that, and there's always time for additional questions, but with that, the Water Utility Commission Finance Subcommittee and staff, we respectfully request that the commission body make a recommendation to forward water rate scenario C as presented to mayor and council for their consideration and for approval. And we appreciate your attention and excellent job, Dan Jackson, thank you. And with that, I'd be happy to answer any additional questions. Commissioner Bill?
Yeah, I want to make sure I understand what we're recommending, because I got a little confused by something Dan said. We're making the usual recommendation that the council adopt the rates for effective July 1, 22, and only for that year.
That's correct. Town code requires us, well, we do a five-year projection, we're only approving.
I understand. That's what we've done every year. It's based, and that recommendation for this year is based on our understanding of what that five-year projection is. It's only 1 year.
Correct.
Recommendation. Okay.
Correct.
Just for clarification, so we make this recommendation, it's for 1 year. However, is the utility going to continue to analyze rates every year to make sure that the projection is still working?
Absolutely. Every year, the town staff will do a water rates analysis. We'll create a water rate report. Now, this will be a guiding document that'll hopefully we'll see that we're still in the hunt on the projections. And that's what this really is for. So it's kind of a guiding document. Make sure, like I said, we're in the hunt. It looks about right. But yes, every year we'll perform a water rate analysis for both the pothole, the reclaim, we'll look at GPF.
One of the things about doing these kind of forecasts is with water utilities, costs tend to be very consistent year from year to year. People use water in the same patterns. Costs go up by expected amounts. So while we can never really tell the future, I think this will prevent a very good set of guidelines. It's always possible in the future you might need to tweak the rate structure a little bit. I would say probably the biggest risk you're facing right now is inflation. There have been some pretty scary inflation numbers that have come out in the last couple of months. If that continues, then you might have to tweak the rate plan at some point in the future. If not, it's always good to look at it every year to analyze it, but we're pretty confident that 5% number is probably going to be attainable.
This is basically the process we've followed ever since I've been involved in this. We make the five-year projection each year. We tweak it a little bit. Strikes me there are three major risks in there. One is the inflation. The other is the cost of financing and construction. Well, actually, maybe four. And the last one would be these provisional rates from CAP, which could change substantially if situations change. So we have to be on top of this year by year.
Absolutely. We know we've all heard, the Feds are going to be tapering interest rates, but as early as March, if not sooner, and in several steps. We're seeing big price increases in construction costs.
Interest rates follow inflation. If inflation goes up, interest rates are going to go up. So it's usually a lag, but if we continue to see 7-8% annual inflation rate numbers, you're going to see interest rates kick up by a couple hundred basis points. That wouldn't be good.
Every year we'll perform water rates analysis. Commissioner Hollingsworth.
Peter, do we have any information as to what the future GPF fees are going to be statewide, or how much they vary, anything like that with other utilities?
Dan Jackson had mentioned, the groundwater preservation fee, the name of it and the use is unique to Oral Valley, but other communities have, like Metro Water calls it a water resource utilization fee.
Right.
It's to finance projects that preserve your groundwater. Mm. I just want to make sure you understand that the GPF isn't some fee that everybody charges throughout the state.
Right.
It was a fee that we went to town council and proposed and they adopted to generate the revenue to bring in. For example, the GPF paid for the wheeling of our CAP water through Tucson Water's infrastructure.
Right.
But we'll look at that. As long as the GPF, can pay for a good portion of, the operating portion and pay for the debt service, we try to keep it as level as possible. But that's why we'll look at it every year. If we see, a 20-30% increase in construction costs, and the cost of our money starts going through the roof, maybe we might need to increase GPF to try and balance those things out. We'll just look at it every year.
Mm.
Yeah, a lot like Commissioner Milkey said, we're in a year of probably more unknowns than we've had in recent history.
Right.
Do we have any further questions for Director Abrams? If I understand correctly, then what you've asked the commission to do is to make a recommendation. Director and staff have recommended that we move forward with Plan C, which is a 5% increase in the first year.
Correct.
And so does anybody feel compelled to make a motion to recommend the Plan C?
I will so move, and I just add that this is also the plan that the Finance Subcommittee recommends.
Yep. I concur. we have a second?
I'll second it.
Okay. Will you roll call vote after that?
Commissioner
Hollingsworth? Yes.
Commissioner McMillan?
Yes.
Commissioner
Mielke?
Yes.
Vice Chair Hitt?
Yes.
Chair Mayer? Yes. Thank you.
Thank you, Commissioners. Your continued support of your water utility is, you know, one of the reasons why, as Mr. Jackson pointed out, that, you know, we're financially sound, our infrastructure is healthy, and because of your support and recommendation of council and council support, we can keep doing that. So thank you.
Thank you. Thank you. You all will see me in June when you get to hear the same presentation again. It'll be consolidated in June.
Yeah, I've asked Dan to come make the presentation for council during the public hearing.
Just one recommendation. We'll present only one scenario.
Right.
Yes.
Yes. It'll be, I will cut at least 10 slides out of the presentation.
That wasn't my concern, but.
Well.
We know what we want. Right. We don't have too many choices.
And also, in public hearings, you have to be very concise about what you say and to not go on too long. I mean, you guys are perfectly capable of looking and absorbing a greater level of detail. In public hearings, they kind of want to get to the bottom line. You know, why do we have to do this and how much is it going to cost? All right.
Thank you.
Great job.
Well, thank you.
Appreciate it.
Thanks very much.
Thank you.
If it hadn't been a good job, I would have been Dan Lanning.
Yeah, I have a safe flight home.
All right, everyone. Thanks. All right. Thanks, everyone.
Thank you.
Have a safe trip.
We have moved to agenda item number 3. We're going to have a discussion regarding water utility and report. Director Abrams.
All right. Thank you, Chair Barrett. So every year, this time of year, your water utility staff comes to you with a draft copy of the water utility annual report. So it's called the water utility annual report, April 2022. And what it does is it the report documents the commission actions, utility activities for calendar year 2021, as well as the finances for fiscal year 2020/21. As you remember, our fiscal year goes from July 1st through June 30th. This annual report is required by Article 15-4-5 of the Town Code, and the report is prepared by water utility staff and commission reviews and comments on the report, and then staff renders the report to council on behalf of the commission, at which point the report becomes a public document. In this year's report, as in other years, the contents talk about the Water Utility Commission, executive summary, water resources, regulatory, engineering and planning, capital projects, customer service, water conservations, operations and maintenance, water quality, backflow prevention, and security and financial highlights. So we emailed the draft report to the commission, and you know, welcome your comments on that. You know, if we can receive comments back to Danielle by February 28th, that will give us time to go through those comments, maybe contact the commissioners if we don't understand something about the comments. In the past, we get excellent comments from the commission. We're very appreciative of those. I think it's made the document better every year. On March 18th, we'll make final adjustments to the report. And on the 21st, we'll render the report to Town Council on behalf of the Commission, at which point we transmit the report to the Clerk's Office for public record notification and fulfill that requirement of Town Code. We emailed the draft out, and the only thing missing from it is we don't have all of our static water level readings from the appendix for the static water levels of the well. So, as soon as I get that information, we'll email that sheet to you so you can see what that is, where you're able to see what that is. Any questions with respect to the annual report? Has everybody received it, I hope, or you're able to download it? Do we send a Word document?
Yes.
Okay.
I have, if you don't mind,
please.
One suggestion. I know a member made some comments, and they let me know that they did that, and that was great. I get emails letting me know that somebody contributed to the document. document, but it doesn't tell me who. So if you're making changes, that's wonderful. We love that. But if you don't mind sending me an email real quick and letting me know that you did that, that way I kind of can figure out who made what changes.
It seems to be a shortcoming of the SharePoint version that we can't identify our comments.
It doesn't track who made the comment.
It doesn't say who. It just says guest contributor.
Yeah. It might if we had accounts and signed in.
What if in the comments they put their initials or something?
That works too?
Yeah, just write it in the comments.
Why don't we do that in the comments? Yeah, just put your initials. Okay, great.
Thank you. Anybody got identical initials in here?
No, I don't think so.
Pardon me?
Yeah. No, thank you. We appreciate the comments. I don't know if some of you folks remember, Commissioner Milky might. I think we've got that document cut down in half to what it used to be. It's a lot easier to read now. But there's always room for improvement.
There's still a huge amount of information in the appendices if anybody wants it.
Yeah.
And that's good.
Yeah.
It's readable, though.
Yeah, good. Good. And let's see if we can make it a little better this year, too. So that concludes my presentation on the annual report. Thank you.
Thank you. Okay, we have moved to agenda item number 4, updated discussion on water resource usage.
Great. Thank you.
Again.
Thank you, Chair Merrick. So, you folks have seen this table before, and what we do is this represents a calendar year, and we've been tracking since 1996, but it's getting kind of tight in there. And what we looked at here, it's great. It's a great table, tells the Oral Valley story. Just as a refresher, prior to 2006, we were solely dependent on groundwater. And you can see our usage in 1999 was a little over 7,000 acre feet a year, and it reached a peak of just under 10,000 acre feet a year of groundwater. And then as time went on, we brought in reclaimed water beginning in 2006, and every acre foot was reclaimed water we brought in was an acre foot less of groundwater that was pumped. And then beginning in 2012, we started diverting our CAP allocation. This is showing just the Oral Valley service area. The next slide will show the countryside service area. And the countryside service area doesn't have reclaim. But you can see, trending, what's really neat to see is, just that groundwater level, even though we have 2,000 more connections than we did 10,000 years ago. This community's conservation ethic has been such that we're not seeing a big spike in consumption. So good job to this community. So in 2021, our reclaimed production was 1,751 acre feet. That was a little less than our reclaimed production of the prior year. Our CAP production was 2,435 acre feet, a little more than it was in 2020. And our groundwater production was down 4,500 acre feet compared to the 4,674 the year before. And that's primarily due to we had just an excellent hydrology in July and August. Looking at our countryside service area, here again, it was solely dependent on groundwater until 2014. And then we started wheeling a portion of our CAP allocation to countryside. So in 2021, our CAP production was 171 acre feet, a little more than the previous year. It was probably, I think that the previous year we might have had the system down for a month or so, because that pretty much, that's just a base load volume that's very steady. So it remains pretty constant.
Could you remind us where the countryside service area is again?
Sure. So it's the land with the wood streets. Oh. I was getting the streets wrong.
Overton on the north.
Okay. Is it Camino de Oeste in the south?
Yeah. Camino de
Oeste
on the south.
Hartman.
Hartman. That's in that
part. To the west.
To the west.
And what's to the east? Okay, so it's 1 square mile, and it's not contiguous with this our service area. And it was just part of the package deal when the town bought the private water companies.
And it's completely built out, isn't it? There's no development?
Nearly. I mean, I think there's 7 acres left on the corner that's that can be built on. Mm-hmm. They can sell for apartments.
Who surrounds Countryside for the other service?
Metro and Tucson Water. Yeah, so it's like 1 square mile, and it's served by 2 production wells and 1 CAP fueling station, 1 booster station, 2 reservoirs. Here again, you know, this is just reflective, the lower groundwater production is just reflective of that excellent July and August hydrology that we had last year. Any discussion on Coral Valley service area, Countryside service area, and our water resource utilization?
That it? Thank you. Thank you. Thank you, Dan. All right. Our next item is a town council meeting and communications update from Councilmember Bowen.
Thank you, everybody. The major issue that we've been addressing in council since we last met here in this room is the revitalization of the Oral Valley Marketplace. On the 19th of September, after the Water Commission meeting, we had a long study session. And between that study session and the meeting that's coming up tomorrow, in my view, we've had unprecedented public participation, lots of questions, lots of comments. In addition, I think we had the longest staff report I've ever seen. We had about 90 questions, and it took a couple weeks to put together. So needless to say, this is a really important issue for the town. I expect a really big attendance Wednesday night, and we should know next month whether or not this will move forward. And that's it for this month. That's the issue.
Thank you, Councilmember Moore. Appreciate that. Moving on to the next item, we have our subcommittee and committee reports. First being the finance subcommittee, which is myself, Commissioner Milkey, Commissioner Hollingsworth. You guys saw the product that we had. We held, I believe, 2 meetings in between the January meeting today to get to that recommendation. So really, I don't think we should put more to it since we really beat that one today. But that was our activity up until this point. And then Water Resources and Conservation Subcommittee, did you guys have any meetings?
Oh, we've not had any.
Okay. Well, that wraps up the subcommittee and commissioner reports. Peter, are you ready for the director report?
Sure.
Cover from when we started it?
Well, no, Dan was the start of it.
Okay.
Welcome, James, to you guys, I'm sure. So, upcoming meetings, as Councilor Bowen pointed out, tomorrow we have a town council later session meeting in council chambers at 6 p.m. It'll probably be a long one. March 2nd, another town council regular session. Oh, that meeting is canceled? I don't think it is. Maybe that,
oh, okay.
They got some mistake.
Okay.
That'll be in council chambers at 6 p.m. And our next Water Utility Commission meeting will be March 14th, right here at 5 p.m. So, in the wintertime, this is something the commission gets to see. Here we're looking at the snowpack in the upper basin states. And this graph is really, no, it's good. It's
not good. Not as good as it looked last time.
No, well, okay, so here, let's look at. Okay, so the red line here, we have the average and the median. They track pretty close. Our banner year that we've had in recent time was water year 2019. We just had excellent hydrology in the upper basin states, kept us out of a tier one shortage. And then we had water year 2021, which was this blue line here. That was not a good hydrology year for us. And we saw Lake Powell, Lake Mead drop, and that's really what pushed us into the tier one shortage. Here in our current water year 2022, you know, we were tracking with water year 2021 numbers, but then we've had some some good hydrology. We had some rain here, and we had some good hydrology in the upper basin state. So hopefully this blue line will at least follow the median or creep above it. So that's a graphical representation of that. And then looking in a plan view, you know, this area really contributes to the watershed that supplies the Colorado River. And, you know, green and blue is good. You know, last year we had a lot of yellow and orange. I don't remember if we had any red or not, but, you know, we're above the curve in several of the states with respect to the current snowfall. So keep your fingers crossed that this line stays above the median and the average, and maybe next month we'll see some blue here, hopefully. And that concludes my report. Thank you.
Great. Thank you, Peter. Before we move to call the audience, I did forget to, we have the Finance Committee sub-report. I did forget to thank Mary for all the work that she did in preparing for those. We had three total meetings, I think, between December, January, and February. So thanks again, Mary.
Oh, thank you.
Great work. We appreciate it. Okay. Well, Danielle, during that time, have we had any kind of audience participation left?
Yeah.
Then we will close that part of the call to audience. Do we have any suggestions for further agenda items for future meetings from the commission? Okay. Well, if we don't have any suggestions, then we are at the adjournment phase of our meeting. Would someone care to move to adjourn?
Motion to adjourn.
Sorry. And was it a roll call? I think you said you can't ask.
Commissioner Hollinsworth?
Yes.
Commissioner Nolan?
Yes.
Commissioner Milkey?
Yes.
Vice Chair Kidd?
Yes.
Chair
Merritt?
Yes.
Thank you.
And this was Chair Merritt's first time as chair. Good job.
Good job. Yeah.